Okay, so we are now up to Parsha, and we've got Parshas Mishpatim. If you take a look on your sheet, the first of the Parsha sources, there are chumashim behind you if anybody wants to see in the original. One of the many, many halachos found in Parshas Mishpatim is the law, first of all, of Ir Miklat, the city of refuge, for somebody who commits murder accidentally. And then we're told, V'chiyazid ish al re'ehu l'hargo be'arma, in the event that somebody attacks somebody else be'arma, with cunning, somebody specifically tries to kill somebody, he's not doing it by accident, me'im mizbechi tikachen ulamus, you shall take him away from my mizbeach to die. If he goes to the mizbeach to try to get to safety, you have to take him away to die. And my question is very simple. Why would anybody have thought otherwise? Like, somebody murdered somebody else. Why would it dawn on them that running into the Mishkan and grabbing onto the Mizbeach is somehow going to save them from getting punished? And not only that, before you start answering, it happens at least twice in Tanakh. I gave you the references in source number one. They're both in the time of Shlomo. Yeah, we talked about one. We talked about Yoav. The first example that I gave is with Adoniyahu, Shlomo's brother. Adoniyahu thinks that he is going to become king even before David dies. He tries to launch a popular campaign. David shuts down the campaign by naming Shlomo as the next melech. But Adoniyahu continues anyway to try to get the malchus, to try to get the throne, and that's its own story. But in the middle of this, we are told what you see here, the second line in source number one, Adoniyahu feared Shlomo, and he rose and went and gripped the corners of the Mizbeach, thinking that that would save him. And then the story with Yoav, who supported Adoniyahu with his attempted coup. Yoav hears that Shlomo is punishing people. This is after David has passed away. So news came to Yoav, for Yoav had followed Adoniyahu, although he had not followed Avshalom. And Yoav fled to the tent of Hashem, and he gripped the corners of the Mizbeach. Now, it doesn't work for Adoniyahu, and it doesn't work for Yoav. But it makes it, interestingly, into Greek, Roman, and Christian ideas. This idea that you can claim sanctuary in a church is the book The Hunchback of Notre Dame, yeah. Notre Dame, right? Sanctuary. Sorry. Another what then? It's a book.
No, yeah, but it became a very good book.
Seriously, so somehow or other the world got this idea, which you're finding in a pasuk in Mishpatim. And my question is, why would you think that this tactic would be effective? Dasi, you were going
to
say.
I don't think it's so crazy. Like, if you're holding on to something that holy, like, yeah. No one's going to actually commit such a horrible thing.
Safe place.
What do you mean?
Safe place. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
They wouldn't just take him away and kill him?
Or it's like, you're right back to your mommy and daddy. Like, oh, nobody's going to touch me.
Right, you know, like little kids aren't scared because they did something wrong and their sibling is going to hurt them, so they run
to their parents?
Yeah. You're not going to let anything bad happen to them right there.
Protection.
Mm-hmm. So, but they think Hashem is going to want to protect them?
People are not going to commit such a vile sin right there. Yeah, maybe they'll.
It's not a sin. Maybe. It's not a sin.
Right, but
they'll think twice.
I mean, like, killing somebody.
Like, executing a murderer, yes.
Yeah.
In the Holy of Holies, like, I feel like they'll take him out, but maybe.
So.
He thinks, maybe, like, for
right, there is no Mizbeach in the Kodesh Kodashim, to be clear.
Okay, sorry. But yeah.
Maybe because if they do it by accident, then they're thinking to themselves, like, I didn't go and kill someone outright. It's an accident. I have a chance here. I'm going to run, and I'm going to...
So in the event that it was done by accident, then it actually works.
Right.
Just like in your miklat works. This is talking about somebody who murdered someone on purpose. So...
Only the person knows.
It's the argument that you're making of you wouldn't kill him right there is actually, it seems, what happens with Yoav. Because what happens is Shlomo sends Benayahu ben Yehoyada to kill Yoav. Right. Yoav runs to the Mizbeach, Benayahu doesn't know what to do. And he comes back to Shlomo and says, what do I do? And Shlomo says, I called you to execute him. But Metzudas David there, I didn't bring it on the sheet because it was local to that story. But Metzudas David actually says that the thinking of Yoav is, executing me here will create tumah in the Mishkan. and they don't want to create tumah in the Mishkan. I didn't bring it here because it's only relevant if you think that the issue is getting killed on the spot. It's not. They'll just grab you, pull you off, take you to Beis Din.
Give you a few extra minutes maybe to explain yourself. Trial.
Buying time.
Buying time, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't maybe. They give a trial? Don't they have all...
Yes. That is true. But you take him out and you put him on trial. Right. Or if he's already been tried and found guilty and he's supposed to get executed and he runs there, you know? So one approach, which sounds a little close to what some of you are saying, is simply that it's a political thing. It's politics. Meaning, you don't want the optics of having pulled somebody screaming off of the Mizbeach to execute them. It's just a bad look.
Yeah.
The New York Times would be all over.
Abarbanel in source number two, and if not for that, then for something else, right? But Abarbanel on the Yoav story says, front page, Hasidic schools in New York. No. V'chashav gamkein shebavur zetia misaso yosem meguna be'enei ha'om. As Abarbanel says, that Yoav's thinking was that if Shlomo is going to kill him there, then his death will be disgraceful to the nation. No one is going to want to support Shlomo, and Shlomo will know this, and therefore Shlomo is going to back down. It's a political thing. That's one approach. Second approach is that maybe halacha would provide protection for this person. Because there are cases in which you are protected by the cities of the Levium. I give you a pasuk in source number 3, which informs us that the Levium received 48 cities in Eretz Yisrael. 6 of them are the Arei Miklat, the 6 cities of refuge that work for accidental murderers. Not only that, the other 42 cities also actually work, sort of like an Arei Miklat, with some technical differences. But the point is, the murderer knows that an accidental murderer can get to the cities of the Levium, and the Mishkan is surely, you know, like the cities of the Levium. And there's even a Gemara in Makos that says that if he goes up onto the Mizbeach and he actually starts doing the Avodah, he gets saved. So maybe it's halachic, like he just thinks, well, the city of refuge works, cities of the Levium works, so too this will work. I think there's a third argument that you can bring for it. And that is that grabbing onto the Mizbeach is not necessarily an act of claiming sanctuary. Maybe grabbing onto the Mizbeach is an act of tshuva. Right? Do you know, during the Avodah, what do you do with the corners of the Mizbeach?
Sprinkle with blood?
Right, you put the blood of the Karban on the corners of the Mizbeach. That is the definitive act of kapara. That's a definitive act of atonement, is when the blood is placed on the corner of the Mizbeach. So much so, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which I brought you in source number 4, in which they're talking about the possibility that you could bring a Karban Chatas and atone without ever putting blood on any of the corners of the Mizbeach. And it says, no, kapara b'chdi lo ashkechan. There's no such thing as gaining that atonement without any action. There has to be the placing of the blood on the corners of the Mizbeach. So maybe what's going on is that the murderer is doing it as an act of tshuva. I feel bad. What I did was wrong. I'm throwing myself on God's mercy. Because they specifically, in the case of Adoniyahu and Yoav, it isn't just that they grab the Mizbeach. They grab the corners. The corners are the spot where you place the dam. So that's a thought. Then there's a fascinating idea, which Rav Amnon Bazak suggests, which I think is really interesting. I don't think it's right, but I think it's a very interesting idea. He points out the Jews are in Mitzrayim. The Jews are getting out of Mitzrayim. On the night of the 15th of Nisan, what happens to the Mitzrim? Oh, come on.
The firstborn die?
Right, Makas Bechoros, the firstborn die. The Jews are told, if you leave your house, what's going to happen?
Also, your heels also die.
Not just firstborn. Anybody who leaves the house is going to die, right? The house is the place where they stay safe. You may remember a Parsha Shir that we had a couple of years ago. It's more than a couple of years, I guess. But you'll remember anyway. Where we talked about the fact that they take the blood from the Korban Pesach and they put it on the doorposts and on the lintel. And we said that the home is like a Mizbeach.
Yeah, I do remember that, actually.
There you go. So Rabbi Zak takes this idea. I brought it for you in source number 4, but it's not really, you can read the wording there. He suggests that the Mizbeach will save you like your home saved you in Mitzrayim. Your home saved you, so therefore the Mizbeach should save you.
Explainable reason, meaning you're still guilty.
Right. I'm not...
just like, well, there's something extra special here.
Sorry?
I don't know what the connection is, because they're not guilty.
Right. Well, except...
They're not guilty, they're just...
Right. Unless you take the Midrashim that suggests that, no, the Jews are guilty in Mitzrayim. They're just being saved in the merit of the Avos or in the merit of blood of Mila and the Karban Pesach. But they're, you know, when you read the Psukim in Yehoshua and in Yechezkel where they talk about the Jews worshipping Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim, you understand the Midrashim that say that Yamsuf, the Malachim said, what's the difference between these and these? Why are you saving these and destroying those? So the argument would be, the reason why they would die if they left their house is because they're just as guilty as Mitzrayim is. And therefore they need the house to save them. That would be the argument on behalf of Rav Bazak's point. But I like the last answer. I have a fifth answer. And to me, it's the most basic answer, and I think it's the most important answer. It's about Parshas Mishpatim on the whole. And a fundamental misunderstanding that people have about the nature of Mishpat. This Rotsayach, the murderer, thinks that what happens among human beings is not really important to God. It's not vital to God. You have two different arenas. You have the area of Bein Adam L'Makom, and you have the area of Bein Adam L'Chavero, and they're two different arenas. And that God can overrule what's going on among human beings. Human beings do what they do. God does what God does. Human beings want to execute. This person throws himself on God's mercy. God says, all right, I'm gonna save him. Take a look at Rabbeinu Bachaye on the sheet in number 6, my translation. He says, in truth, this, the rule of our pasuk, is of the laws of righteousness and among the righteous statutes and laws, that even this person who thought to take aid from God or from the altar associated with him, since he murdered and became liable for death, the text commanded to remove him from there and to give him to the opposing litigant, meaning he's going to get punished. One should not have mercy upon him, for mercy in this situation is cruelty upon all of God's creations. Right? The classic line which shows up in a variety of ways. But he says, this person thinks, Hashem is going to help me, the Mizbeach is going to help me, but it doesn't work that way. You committed murder, you're going to get turned over. A clearer expression of this is in Rav Shimshon Nefal Hirsch in number 7, if you take a look at my translation there. The Jewish altar does not protect the criminal. There are not here, as it were, two principles which border and complement each other and which relate to each other with mutual criticism, like church and state, kindness and justice and the like. It's not like you have God on one side and the Beis Din on the other, and they have competing interests. The place of justice in Israel, the Supreme Court, was beside the altar upon which no sword could be raised, right? The Sanhedrin meets in the Beis HaMikdash. The two go together. The principle nurtured by the altar is the principle that is manifest before the Sanhedrin. The two go hand in hand. That which the Mizbeach says, saving human life, is very much part of the dictum of the Sanhedrin. But the Sanhedrin's practice of Mishpat is also the dictate of the Mizbeach. Any concept of a legal pardon is missing from the book of laws of the Jewish state. There is no such thing in the Torah as Beis Din getting a pardon. You know, the Kohen Gadol saying, we're going to forgive him. That's not a thing. Statute and law in Israel is of God, not of man. I think that's part of the murderer's self-justification. Like, the murderer feels like, you know, what I did is among people, but God is separate and apart. And that doesn't work within Torah. We have a pasuk, ki ha-mishpat le-lokim hu, right? Lo sagur, I brought it in number 8. Lo saguru mipnei ish, do not tremble before any man. This is addressed to the judges. Don't tremble before any man. Ki ha-mishpat le-lokim hu, because justice belongs to Hashem. And this is actually an idea which comes up in a very practical question that people, you know, ask me from time to time. I have a lawsuit against somebody who is Jewish. Am I allowed to take it to secular court? OK, Can I go to a secular court, you know, for this? And the halacha is that you're not supposed to. It's the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. You're supposed to go to Beis Din. Yes, there are exceptions. Yes, there are cases where a Beis Din will say, don't worry, go to a secular court. Understood. But the basic letter of the law is, you're supposed to have the case in Beis Din. And there are a variety of reasons that are given for that. But I think the most basic reason is because Mishpat, as far as Torah is concerned, is a religious act. Justice and religion go together. They're not two separate things. It isn't that justice is how I deal with other people and religion is how I deal with God. Justice is fundamentally religious. I brought you three examples of it in the Gemara in source number 9. One that says that when a Beis Din convenes, Hashem is there with them. Another one that says a judge who judges truthfully is viewed by the Torah as a partner of Hashem in creation. And then a third one, that a judge who judges truthfully causes the Shekhinah to be manifest in Eretz Yisrael. You can't say, or in Israel, it's really among Jews, I suppose, as a whole. You can't say that what I do as a judge is with people and separate from Hashem. It doesn't work that way. Justice is a fundamentally religious act, which is why it has to go to Beis Din. To take justice into a secular system is to desacralize, if that's a word, something like that, desanctify, deconsecrate the act of mishpat. Now it's no longer something kadosh. Now it's just, you know, what I'm doing with this, you know, with this other person. So you can't do that. And that, to me, is the misunderstanding that the Rotzeach has. The Rotzeach thinks, okay, fine, right, to use your example, Dina, right, my sibling wants to hurt me, so I'm going to go to mom and dad, and they're going to save me. The Rotzeach thinks, the Sanhedrin wants to hurt me, I'm going to go to Hashem, and Hashem is going to save me from the Sanhedrin. It doesn't work that way. Hashem and the Sanhedrin are together. Right. The following statement could be considered heretical, so be careful with how you use it. But it's like saying, going to the father and saying, you know, save me, mom wants to punish me. Right? That doesn't work that way. They're on the same team, right? We hope and expect. So Hashem and the Sanhedrin are working together. So the mistake is, I'm gonna run to the Mizbeach to get Hashem to weigh in on my side, and Hashem's answer is that doesn't work that way. So I gave you a summary at the end of the sheet. Maybe the murderer just thinks that politically it will be bad, it will be unpopular, and therefore he'll be spared. Maybe he thinks that halacha works, just like the Ari Miklat works, so too this will be, you know, helpful for him, even though what he did was intentional. Maybe he's doing it as an act of tshuva, grabbing to the corners of the Mizbeach. Maybe it's supposed to be like your home saving you the night of the first Seder, so too the Mizbeach is going to save you because the homes were like a Mizbeach. But to me, I think the answer is it's about Mishpat and about justice and the Sanhedrin acting with Hashem, not in competition with Hashem.
Thank you. Thank you.